The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
From the Sky Eye Weather Center, this is meteorologist Rich Apuzzo, and you are listening to The Weather Rush, a special update of our national edition. Now, it may not be special for you because it may seem like it's being updated at the normal time, but it's not. The last edition didn't run the full week because something caught my attention. A rather big story, not one that you'll hear in the mainstream media. You know, when I do these Weather Rush updates and I talk about something big, it's usually something that you're not going to hear elsewhere. And you should, though, in this case, because this is significant. Let me give you a quick overview of what it's all about. The headline from the What's Up With That website, that's W-A-T-T-S, What's Up With That, the largest, most visited, most viewed climate change, global warming site. I mean, it's amazing, on the internet. So, I mean, this guy, Anthony Watts, and I know Anthony is a former TV meteorologist. He works out in Chico, California, where he runs his business. The What's Up With That website is actually a sideline to his main business, but it's now taking up a lot of his time and getting a lot of attention, and rightly so. Well, Anthony Watts and a team of researchers over the last few years have been doing a little bit of research on something I've been talking here about for a long time, and that is the artificial influence of heating on our weather stations around the country. Now, that may not sound all that really attractive and something you find all fascinating, but think about it. When we're talking about global warming, when we're talking about man-made climate change, and those who buy into that start using the actual surface temperatures as an argument as to why this stuff's happening, well, what if, and this is what I've said all along because I've noticed this, what if we can actually say and refute with scientific fact that the surface temperatures themselves are corrupted and not really accurate, especially since we've now had satellite data since the late 1970s, which isn't showing the same warming, and in fact, over the last decade and a half, has shown a leveling off of temperatures or even some cooling at times, but definitely no additional warming. Well, the surface temperatures I've claimed for many years are biased because we've grown. I know I grew up with in the Chicago area, you know, and the official reporting station started at Midway Airport, moved to O'Hare Airport, and Midway was in the city, but O'Hare was well out into the suburbs and away from everything, at least when I was younger. And then suddenly all kinds of building went on around it. Now O'Hare might as well be a metropolitan area as well because it has suburbs with all kinds of construction all around it. It's urbanized, so the thermometer there is actually not representative of the air mass affecting Northeast Illinois, but really just affecting the metropolitan area. And when we look at our official climate reporting stations, your official weather reporting stations in every city you live in, when they say our high today was on the local news, and they take it from the official reporting station, those are our climate reporting stations. When you look at those, they are supposed to represent the region you live in, not just a little spot of land they're on. Because if they're doing that, they're not really giving you an accurate picture of the overall weather trend. That's the reason we have all these thermometers around the country, is to give an idea of the broad patterns. If we wanted to find out the temperature on someone's sidewalk in some neighborhood, we would just stick a thermometer there. But we have certain guidelines from the World Meteorological Organization for setting up these weather stations around the planet so that they all will have the same sort of requirements. And if they fit within these requirements, we know we have a pretty good quality data coming from each station. Well, Anthony and his team's new study show what I've been talking about and what he's been talking about for many years as well. The new study, as the title goes, shows half of the global warming in the United States is artificial. And I don't mean it's man-made and we need to stop it. I mean it's man-made and artificial because the thermometers are in the wrong places. In fact, it's amazing to look at his study. If you go to the What's Up With That website, right now it is pinned at the top, and it may be for a few more days, because this is a major thing. And you will see that the majority of the stations that we use in this nation, 80%, just about 80% of the reporting stations around the United States that are part of our historical climate network, are actually sited improperly. Sited meaning they're in the wrong place to measure temperatures accurately. 80%. Only about 20% are properly sited. And you know what? Of those 20%, they show very little trend in temperatures, about 0.1 to maybe 0.2 degrees centigrade of increase in the last 30 plus years. So we're looking at very little motion or movement in temperatures at all since the 70s based on the rural and properly sited thermometers. But you get to the ones in the city and they all show warming, not because the atmosphere has actually been warming, but because they are being surrounded more and more by buildings, asphalt, concrete, air conditioners, heating units, whatever it might be that puts out heat, or is a reflective surface like a whole bunch of cars in a parking lot. And you know how hot your car gets and how hot the outside gets. So now you're generating extra heat, and that heat is being reflected in the thermometer. So what you're dealing with here is artificial heating, but not because the actual atmosphere is warmer over the broad region, but just because there's things around the thermometer itself that are causing it to warm. It's amazing. Now, you have to go to the story. You can find out more. And a lot of it you're not going to understand if you're, you know, not into the weather stuff, because, you know, some of it is talking about the actual distance around each one of these stations and, you know, some of the aspects that go into breaking down the different sections. But it's a pretty easy read overall. The bottom line is, and this is true, by the way, globally, but here in the United States, we have a pretty good network of thermometers, and ours are some of the best in the world. And if that's the case, and yet 80% of them have incorrect temperatures because they're of their placement, just imagine how bad this is around the world. I should note, Anthony also pointed out, and if you do a search on his website, I think you could find it on that blog, but back in the 70s, late 60s, there were more than 6,000 stations around the planet reporting into the climate network. Now we have just over 1,000, 1,100, something like that. Where did they all go? Well, they didn't really go anywhere. Now, some of them disappeared, but most of them are just not being used anymore. And you know where most of them are that disappeared? Rural areas, mountainous areas. They're not using those. And yet more and more of these urbanized areas are dominating the climate network. Well, not surprisingly then, it looks as if the planet's warming when it's not. But let's just focus on the United States. This was, like I say, an amazing study. And the reason Anthony undertook it is because there's a new way of judging proper sighting that came out of France. And as I look at his article, a reanalysis of United States surface stations temperatures has been performed using the recently World Meteorological Organization approved sighting classification system devised by Meteo France's Michael Leroy. And it might be Michel since he's French. But bottom line is there's a new classification system approved by the World Meteorological Organization, and what he does, and it, because the old sighting system said you had to have a thermometer and all your weather equipment a certain distance from a building. And I think it was 30 meters, 90 feet. And if you're there, you should be fairly safe. Well, and actually the best sighted stations were close to 100 meters or 300 feet from anything like asphalt, pavement, shady areas, buildings. So 300 feet would be your class one, your best in class there, reporting stations. Well, what this Michelle or Michael Leroy did, probably Michelle the way I'm looking at it, Leroy did at Meteo France is he said, wait a second, let's expand that. Because just because you're 300 feet from a building doesn't mean you may not be influenced by other things. What if you're 300 feet from a building, but then 500 feet away you have a major metropolitan area? So you may technically fit into the guidelines and be in great shape according to the classifications, but if only a half mile away or 1,000 feet away, you've got a whole bunch of concrete, asphalt, cars running by, then guess what? Any wind blowing off of that is going to affect your temperatures. So he decided to expand that classification to get something that is more spatially representative, something that says, okay, you know what? If there's anything out there within the region, and they define it here, that may influence, and this includes big lakes too, because that'll induce some artificial cooling at times. We don't want artificial cooling or warming. We want an accurate temperature profile based on the region. So if you've got a major metro area, a big airport nearby with a whole lot of runways and aircraft taking off and landing, 300 feet's not a big deal. You're not really getting a feel for the air because it's being so influenced by other artificial factors. And that's what we want to keep into account here, is we want to make sure that it's a naturally as possible, naturally occurring air mass that's hitting that thermometer, that's providing our wind speeds and everything. But this is all about temperature. Here's the other big, and I'm sorry to bury the lead on this one, bottom line in all of this, is that NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, they're the folks who head up the National Weather Service, they actually do an adjustment to temperatures around the nation. Now, that alone sounds wrong to me. You should be just taking the raw data and saying that's what it is. But they do this adjustment in what they say is a way to homogenize, to make all the temperatures more equal as far as how they're measured. The bottom line being that they want to make it so that, you know, the rural areas nearby a city area are coming close in temperatures when you look at them over time. They don't want big differences. Well, that's fine. That's fine only if you adjust the city temperatures down to what the rural areas are, because those are the ones who are not being influenced by artificial heating. But you know what they've been doing? They've been adjusting rural areas upward to match the urbanized temperatures, which, by the way, are the more poorly sighted thermometers. So they're actually taking the good quality data and massaging it to match the bad quality data. So not only are you having artificial warming because you have the majority of our network thermometers in cities or near artificial heating sources, and Anthony has some great pictures there. You could find others online. I mean, there are some that literally you have the actual measurement device right next to a parking lot or on top of asphalt or concrete. I mean, it's crazy. Or on a rooftop. Rooftop's bad enough, but then near an air conditioning unit. I mean, you couldn't get worse than that. And these are supposed to be actual reliable climate records? Of course not. So now you take that bad data and you massage the good stuff and say, yeah, we need to warm those rural temperatures up. They found that they're warming those rural temperatures by 3 times. 3 times the warming that they should actually have. The rural temperatures are fine. Leave them alone. Those high quality stations that are properly sited in rural areas, if anything, we should be lowering the urbanized temperatures to match those, because those are the ones that are doing the proper job of measuring the temperature. But NOAA does it the other way. So this is huge. This is big because we're talking about manipulation of scientific data. I don't know that it's intentionally to match an agenda. I won't go that far, although I wouldn't be surprised one bit. Not one bit, because what's the agenda been for that same 30-year period? Global warming. And a way to prove it is to adjust data. And they've been adjusting data. And by the way, the National Climatic Data Center and a number of folks at NOAA and NASA are in on the whole agenda and global warming movement. They're right involved in it. Heavily. Admittedly. James Hansen of NASA has even been arrested a number of times at global warming protests. He's out there with them. So he's not an objective scientific observer, and yet he heads up the Goddard Space Flight Center for NASA. So this is where our science has gone to. And NOAA and others, when called on this, simply refused to acknowledge the issue. Now, they've made some changes because some are so extreme that they've had to shut down the stations. Instead of just improving the station location, moving the thermometer, they just shut it down. But overall, they make these adjustments, but make no acknowledgement of the fact that the majority of the network is poorly sighted, and that their adjustments are adjusting the good data upward to match the bad data. They can't do that, because that would be a huge, I mean, imagine the exposure and what would the pressures they'd face after that, for funding especially. But this is in the study, it's confirmed, it's there. It's tragic, and it's something that we need to pay very close attention to. So when you see these temperatures being reported all across the country in the heat wave recently, think about that. Most of those were artificially high. So how many new records were set based on bad data, corrupt data? Oh, yeah, we set a 100-year-old record. No, you didn't. You beat it by a couple of degrees, but that's all based on the urbanization. 100 years ago, those buildings weren't there. So I'll bet it was actually hotter a few hundred years, 100 years ago, 140 years ago. Some of these stations have data out to 150 years. But those records would still stand if these thermometers were sited properly away from parking lots, cars, buildings, and other things that produce heat or that will radiate heat when impacted by the sun. It's tragic. But that's where we are. We know it's there, though. The good news is we can correct it if we got enough folks in power to realize that this is bad data and it's most likely being done intentionally. But even if not, let's get in there and clean the science up. Because if you really want to know what's happening with global temperatures, you cannot trust our surface stations right now, at least not 80% of them in the United States. Satellites, which have been around for a while, are doing a much better job, and you never hear NOAA or others talking about satellite data indicating any sort of record heat. Do you know what satellite data is showing for this year? The average temperature across the planet from January 1st through today, whatever day you're listening, because it's not going to change, the average global temperature is actually below normal. Now, I think it's less than a tenth of a degree, but the fact is, all around the planet, if you take every area based on satellite data and surface data, even in some cases, but it shows that from the January 1st until now, there is actually a cooler. Imagine taking out the heat from the United States. And actually, one other thing they're showing in there, too, is that there's been some unusual warmth in the Arctic regions. Again, we're talking about Arctic. So when we talk about unusual warmth, it can be 25 or 30 degrees. That's unusual warmth for them. It can still be below freezing, but unusually warm. If you take out the Arctic and the United States, the entire planet would be running much colder than normal right now. So imagine that. Our little 2% of the world, which is what the lower 48 states really are, and a few places in the Arctic. Other than that, since from January until now, I mean, I have to repeat this because it's hard to imagine, the global temperature is still running below normal. Below normal. That's not to say there haven't been hot spots. There have been some places in Asia, here in the United States, we've seen some hot spots. But taken as a global picture, which is what you have to do if you're going to call it global warming, there hasn't been any. There hasn't been any. So imagine if the U.S. didn't get this hot and didn't have the drought going right now, just how cool the planet would be overall. And even with our heat, which is now artificial, well, we're still running below normal in temperatures around the planet. I'm meteorologist Rich Apuzzo. Check out the study. What's up with that? W-A-T-T-S. What's up with that? And again, the headline of that article is, new study shows global warming, half of the global warming in the United States is artificial, which means that what's left is minuscule and not worth the billions and billions of dollars we've spent on it. This is meteorologist Rich Apuzzo. You've been listening to the Weather Rush National Edition, so keep your eyes on the sky and enjoy the changing weather.